Beautiful sense of the presence of God here this morning, isn't there? That you could just soak in for ages. Please do have a seat. We're going to move on. But as you are taking your seat, don't lose that awareness of God's presence. That awareness can stay with you the whole time that I'm ministering. Don't just suddenly switch out and switch into your brain. Stay aware. So I want to just introduce us for those of you that don't know us. I'm Lynn, and this is my husband, Rob Packer. We live in Tauranga, and we run several ministries, as if busy people aren't busy enough. But we minister primarily in a ministry called XP Ministries, which is associated with Patricia King from the USA, and we run the New Zealand base for XP Ministries here in New Zealand. Part of what we do in that is we do training and equipping, teaching seminars, events, conferences, etc., as part of that. But we also facilitate the New Zealand Prophetic Network, which is a website where the prophets of the nation can post the prophetic words that God is giving them for the nation. And as part of that, also we run an equipping side of that, where we equip people in the prophetic gift and equip people and help them mature as prophets. So that's another part of what we do. And then we have also just recently been building an online training school, which is, we're really excited about that getting up and running. And that you can find out details on that at our personal website, which is www.robandlynn.org. And one of the things that we're excited about in that is we've just started a 6-month online mentoring group for people that move in the revelatory gifts, which are prophecy, word of knowledge, gift of discernment, word of wisdom, etc., those things that come by revelation. So we've just started that. We're into our first month, halfway through our first month in that, and we've got 30-something people from around the world doing that and upskilling in their revelatory gifts. But we're also in April just about to start another online mentoring group called Legacy Builders. And in that, we'll be training people. Again, it's a 6-month online group. We're training people in life basics and ministry basics. So things like understanding your identity. Who are you? Who's God created you to be? And that's not just your identity as in knowing you're a son or daughter of God. That's a part of your identity. But what are the special identifying characteristics that make you you, that help make up your identity? What are your skills? What are your gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? And learning how to function in those. What's your purpose? Why were you created? That's part of what we'll be going into, but also giving you really good foundations for growth and development and establishing ministry, because you are all called to be ministers. Everyone, not just the people who stand up behind this thing. We're, you know, this is our particular function. But every one of us is called to be a minister. Every one of us has a full-time ministry. And it's how we live our life and how we exhibit and display who God is in the earth and the particular ways that God has given us to minister. So that's some of what we do. So it's growing and expanding, and we're really, really excited. But what I'm going to share with you this morning is some really key foundational understanding that will make you more sensitive to what God's doing in any particular moment, anywhere. And so as you get this understanding, I pray that it doesn't just become head knowledge, but that it actually becomes revelation about how God made you and who he made you to be. So originally when God made Adam and Eve, he made them as fully human. Yes, they walked in the Garden of Eden. They operated between the spiritual and natural realm really, really easily. That was part of how he created them to operate. And he made them with senses. And we're very much aware, aren't we, of our five senses. But I want to give you some foundational understanding about your senses that you may not have realized, or that if you did know, you may not have operated in the fullness of what you could operate in. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that properly? Okay, maybe, maybe not. Let's move on. Okay, so one of the reasons that God gave mankind senses is so that we could operate in awareness and sensitivity to some things. Your senses are sensory receivers and communicators. And they receive information from both the natural and the spiritual realm, and they communicate that information to you so that you have some understanding about some things. And so when God gave you your senses, or gave mankind senses, that I've been blown away as I've considered this over the last few months, just how incredible we've been created, just how absolutely amazingly, mind-blowingly God created us. And so when you have a look at our senses and the advanced technology that they are, science has not been fully able to replicate what God created and we move in and work from every day. Science hasn't been able to replicate it, and it certainly hasn't been able to put them all together in one bundle. You know? But yet every day we operate with our senses to in this advanced technology that is spiritual in origin, not just human in origin, because we were created in God's image. We were created by God. So Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 says this: they were darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And then a little bit later it goes on to say, put on the new nature, created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness. So mankind's senses were created to make him sensitive to what God was doing and what was happening around him in the earthly realm. So your senses were created to function in two realms simultaneously. And we understand that we were created to do that. We understand that we actually function in the spiritual realm at the same time that we function in the earthly realm. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's not just a nice theory. That's not just something that is going to happen to you when you die. That is your reality now. And your spirit is aware of what is happening in those heavenly places with Christ. You just don't know how to tune into it. You know? And that's the problem that most of us have. We don't know how to tune in to what our spirit is receiving and experiencing. And your senses are one of the ways that God gave you to do that. It's so exciting. Oh my goodness. But interestingly, when mankind fell, their senses that were created for sensitivity and awareness were given over to sensuality. That's the fallen state of our senses. How does this affect me? Do I like this? It's all about us. It's all about that carnal sensuality that our senses... You know, do they like me? Oh, I saw them smile at me. I think they like me. You know, and that sort of stuff. And it becomes all about us and all about that whole fallen side of things. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yet God didn't leave us there. We know in 2 Corinthians 5 says that when we came to Christ, we became a new creation. Our senses, our whole being was restored, redeemed, and set apart at that moment for God's use, for God to come and work with us in releasing heaven into earth and reconciling all things back to himself. That's his plan. And in Christ, he reconciled your senses back to their original plan and position. It's just, I'm sorry. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited about this? This is for those of you that aren't part of my Revelators group, and some of you are. This is part of what they're getting next month in their teaching. So you guys are getting a heads up there. So if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, your senses have been redeemed, and they are now once again sensitized or sensitive to God and his creation in the way they were originally intended to be. God gave us senses so that mankind could operate in awareness and sensitivity, both with God and with this creation. And we do that physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Your senses pick things up emotionally. You know, they pick up when someone's sad. You sense when someone's sad, don't you? That's your senses at work. And it's picking up something and operating on an emotional level. It does it on a physical level, but it also does it on a spiritual level. So Jesus operated like that, in full use of his senses. And as we see in John 3:13, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he discloses the fact that he was functioning in two realms simultaneously there. He says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." So he said he came down from heaven, but at the same time he is in heaven. So there is our model. And there is our understanding that we can create or we can operate in two realms simultaneously. Okay, so I'm going to miss out a little bit of that there because it's just really, I could spend a whole sermon just on the fact that you can operate in two realms simultaneously. So your redeemed senses can give you spiritual as well as natural information. So I'm going to start to look at some of those senses now and how they operate in both the natural and spiritual realm. Most of us will have some understanding that our Western Christianity comes basically from Greek roots. And the Greeks were very much about compartmentalizing. They compartmentalized natural and spiritual. This is the natural world. This is spirit. And we've lived in that understanding ever since. We've separated ourselves, spirit, soul, body. And yes, we have all three, but they're not separate from each other. They're one. And yet, you know, the current teaching that we have in the church, that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, that wasn't introduced to the church until recently, within the last 100 years or so. And that was introduced by a man called Watchman Nee. But before that, they understood that we were one. And so our senses that God gave us, and it's not that you have to try and find your spiritual senses But if you operate from that you are spirit and your spirit has senses, you are soul and you are body, and they have these senses, then you're going to be, how do I find my spirit? And how do I find my spiritual senses to begin to operate in them? Can you hear what I'm saying there? You're going to be looking for something that is actually hidden in plain sight all along. And that was that God made you as an incredibly unique individual who can operate in two realms simultaneously through the use of your senses. So, Aristotle was the guy who, and Aristotle was a Greek, who first said that we had five senses. And we've lived from that perception ever since. But Aristotle was wrong. We actually have way more than five senses. And science has been bringing that understanding out in recent times, that we're actually far more complex and our senses are far more complex than we originally understood. So let's look at our known senses. Hearing. With this sense, you have the ability to hear both in the natural and in the spiritual realm. You hear sounds, pictures, rhythms, words, etc. And in the spiritual realm, there are spiritually sourced sounds. You go to heaven and you hear the music there. And you don't just hear it, you experience it, you see it, you see the color of it, you see that words have substance, that words just aren't sounds that fall off the end of your tongue. But when you see in the spiritual, you see that words actually have substance, and that substance is full of life and full of color. And there are many people, what do they call them? Synesthetics, that's the word, that have this thing called synesthesia. And for them, they can hear a sound, and that sound is color to them. It has a color. So they might hear a C note on the piano, and for them, that C note is purple. And every time they hear a C note, they actually see purple. And that sense is really hugely developed in them. So we see that we can hear both in the natural and the spiritual realm. Some verses to go with that. Genesis 3:8, where they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. Isaiah 6:8. Isaiah is in heaven and he hears God say, "Who will I send? Who will go for me?" And he's not just hearing with his natural hearing, he's hearing spiritually sourced sound. Numbers 7:89, John 10:27, and Hebrews 3:7 are all scriptures that relate to our ability to hear both in this realm and the spiritual realm. Sight. Again, sight enables us to see both physically and spiritually. It enables us to see physical substance such as print on a page, nature, light, physical activity, movement, all sorts of stuff. But you can also see spiritually. And many of you will have had visions and encounters where you've seen things that have been happening in the spiritual realm. That's your sight, both your internal and your external sight functioning. And you can see internally and you can see externally. Now, that's sort of going to complicate things a little bit for some of you. But God has given us the ability to also see internally, not just externally. And that happens in what Paul refers to as the eyes of our heart or the eyes of our understanding. And we see with that. He prays that that would be enlightened so that we become aware and understand some things. And that, what he's referring to there, the Greek word for understanding, or eyes of the understanding, eyes of the heart. That word understanding is the word dianoia, which means imagination. So Paul's praying that your internal sight, your imagination would be awakened so that you can understand some things. So you can see internally as well as externally. Some verses that go with that. Genesis 15:5, for those of you that like to study things out. 1 Kings 18:43. Zechariah 5:5. In that verse, Zechariah has an encounter with an angel who tells him to look and see what's happening. So this is happening in the spiritual realm. He's having this encounter. He's seeing himself in this encounter with an angel, and the angel says, look and see what's happening. So Luke 2:15 is another one, and John 3:3. Our sense of taste. God gave you the ability to taste distinct flavors through the taste buds on your tongue. And when a substance is placed on your tongue, you're able to detect its own unique flavor, its own unique taste, whether it's salty, sweet, bitter, or more. There's a lot that you can tell through your taste. And in the spiritual, you can also detect tastes. Or you can detect spiritual things. So, for example, we have the children of Israel. They're there. This is on earth, in the wilderness, and God gives them spiritually sourced food that has a taste. It's called manna. And they said it tasted like wafers made with honey. So this is a spiritually sourced thing that they're actually able to taste in the natural realm. And so God can sometimes give you tastes. As you're aware, you might be like, how many have heard, you know, oh, I just got a sour taste in my mouth. We all say those things, don't we? We say them for a reason. Because something that someone just said to us didn't ring quite through and left us with a sour taste. You were spiritually picking something up at that moment, but you described it in the only way you knew how. But you didn't realize what you were picking up was actually spiritual in origin. You were picking up the difference between truth and lie. And metaphorically, that was the only way you could express what you were sensing. You guys, like, are you beginning to already get the picture of, man, I am far more spiritual than I thought I was, and I have been operating in the spirit way more than I knew? Your smell. You have the ability to sense or detect things through smell. Oh, so much. Smell can also stir up memory. You know, how many of you have smelt something and instantly you've been transported back to the very first time you had an ice cream? You know, or the very first time you made daisy chains out on the back lawn with your mum, or whatever it was. But smell did something. It sent you somewhere in your memories. It's amazing. But there are fragrances and odors in the spiritual world as well. How many of you have walked into a hospital and immediately you begin to smell some things and your natural mind goes, oh, that's the smell of the diseases. But you know, that would have to be an incredible lot of that disease or those diseases to actually make you smell some of the things you smell in hospital. What you are smelling sometimes is spiritual in origin. You're smelling decay that is taking place. You're smelling the spirit of death, or the spirit behind cancer, or the spirit behind some sicknesses. They have smells. And you pick them up and you just go, oh, that's just a hospital smell. Maybe it's not just a hospital smell. Maybe you're picking something up, but just not understanding what you're picking up. I love this verse, Ephesians 5, verses 2 and 2. It says that love gives off a sweet smell. How cool is that? And then 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16 says, we are a sweet smell, a sweet fragrance to God that reminds him of Christ. I was at our family camp, church family camp, a few weeks ago, just for a couple of hours. But I was walking down to the ladies, and this other lady was walking towards me, and she gets up close to me, and she goes, oh, you smell nice. I'm like, do I? And she says, what perfume are you wearing? And I'm like, none. And she said, well, what deodorant are you wearing? And I'm like, none. She leans in and she goes, and then she goes, no, it's definitely coming from you. You're giving off this beautiful smell. And I'm like, well, it's not my perfume and it's not my deodorant. It must be a spiritual smell. Your life gives off a fragrance. And Scripture tells us that. To those that are perishing, it's the fragrance of death and what they're going to be faced with. To those who are in Christ, it's a beautiful fragrance. And we're able to detect fragrances. Her senses operated on a spiritual level at that moment. And she picked up this beautiful fragrance coming off my life that I was totally unaware of. Oh, so much good stuff in Scripture. Sorry? Oh, yeah, another one. We were on the North Shore a few years ago in a church there and ministering, and all of a sudden I became aware that the room was filled with, and it wasn't very hard to become aware of because it was like overpowering, the smell of freshly baked bread. And I'm like, Stan, how many of you love the smell of freshly baked bread? Oh my goodness, I'm standing there in the middle of this meeting already drooling in anticipation of freshly baked bread, you know, and just going, oh, that smells so good. And then I'm like, there must be a bakery next door. But it's so strong. Why would it be so strong in here? So I went out. I left the meeting, went out to the foyer, and there was no smell out there whatsoever. Went outside, went out onto the middle of the road and looked up and down the road trying to find where the bakery was. And there wasn't one. Walked back into the foyer, no smell. Walk back into the auditorium, there's this overpowering smell of freshly baked bread. I know. So sometimes you'll pick things up. How many of you have experienced the fragrance of the Lord in a meeting or in your own times with him and you go, oh, what's that? I can remember the very first time that happened to me, I was in a meeting and I smelt the smell of crushed violets. And I recognized the smell because a few weeks earlier we'd been at Rob's parents' place and his mum had a perfume that was really just crushed violets. It was just beautiful. And I'm standing there going, oh, what's that smell? Someone around me must be wearing perfume. So I open my eyes and look to my left, and there's like three guys standing beside me. Look to my right and there's like another couple of guys. Look behind me and there's like about three or four guys. And I'm like, no, they ain't wearing violets. This has got to be a spiritually sourced smell that I'm picking up. But I was able to actually smell it. So that sense of smell operated in the spiritual realm as well. The sense of touch. God created nerve endings on your body so that you can be aware of the world around you. and also so that you could have some protection from harm. You're able to feel and discern things spiritually with the sense of touch. Goosebumps are a way of sensing by touch. How many of you have been talking to someone and they're telling you either a testimony or they're telling you a truth, and your whole body begins to witness with the truth of what they're saying? You get goosebumps or God bumps or whatever you want to call it. It's your sense of touch picking up on something that isn't just natural, but is spiritual, because truth comes from the eternal realm. Oh, so much good stuff. Huh. Yum. Yum, yum, yum. Did you know God was yummy? Scripture tells us, taste and see. Now, why would it say taste and see? Because you can actually, your sense of taste actually experiences the sweetness of his presence. It might not be felt physically, but it's felt on the spiritual level. There's so much. So let's look at, better give you some verses for that too. Leviticus 5, 2 and 3. Exodus 30, 29. Jeremiah 1, 9. Daniel 10, 10. Matthew 9, 20. And Mark 1, 41, 42. And the verses that I give you with these aren't all of the ones in the Bible about this. This is just a few random ones. Matthew 9, 20. Remember the story? The woman with the issue of blood came up and said, if I could only touch his garment, I'll be healed. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and it set off a spiritual chain reaction that manifested in physical healing. Her touch activated something in the spiritual realm that manifested in her life. Peter and Jesus with the blind men, he spits and rubs it in the guy's eye. Yeah, it's like, seriously, Jesus, like, that is so un-PC. That is just so wrong on so many levels. But the touch of his spit and his hand causes a chain reaction and an activation in the spiritual realm. That's why we're told, lay hands on people and they will be healed. Because your touch activates something and accesses something. So what are some of our not so well-known senses? The sense of intuition or perception. It's one of the senses that you've been given. This is an inner knowing or understanding, not the result of thinking something through. It's an instinctive knowing. It's the ability to perceive something that may not be seen physically, but it's picked up by this sense. So perception allows you to pick up on atmospheres. You walk into a room and you go, uh-oh, something's not right here. Atmosphere's a bit frosty. And your perception is kicked in. Your sense of perception. Huh, I love this one. Did you know, and this will freak you all out, did you know your sense of perception can allow you access to other people's thoughts? How many of you, I know what you're thinking, and if you question them, you're absolutely right, they were thinking that. Jesus, Matthew 9:20, says, the woman who touched Jesus's... Oh, no, that's the... Sorry, wrong sense. I looked up in my notes instead of down. Mark 2:8. Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, knowing what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking because he then went on to answer what they were thinking. So he perceived, he picked up something. Now, we're not called to be mind readers and we're not called to freak people out, but that is one of the things that perception can do. It can give you access to what people are thinking. And if you're prophetic, that can happen sometimes. You know, you just get this download of, oh man, I know what you're thinking right now. I can feel it. You know, you might be preaching and you go, I know what you're thinking. I like that particular person. And it's not good. Right now you're telling yourself that I'm this absolute weirdo flake that is way off, etc. Sometimes you can pick that stuff up. So that's intuition or perception. There is also the sense of discernment. Natural discernment gives you feelings like, I know I can trust this person or not trust them. You're discerning something about them. It's similar to intuition or perception, but it's different. It helps you recognize the source, whether something is good or evil in its source. And your natural discernment will help you do that. And there's this beautiful verse in Hebrews 5:14. And when I read this verse first, and for many years, I thought this verse only applied to the gift of discernment. Since then, I've come to see it differently. It says that there are those who are mature because they have trained their senses to discern good and evil through practice. You can train your senses to discern. You don't have to just wait for the sovereign download from God. You can walk in discernment every day. You can walk in the fullness of what your senses were created to experience every day. Oh, there's so much good stuff. So you're able to discern between three basic things: the Spirit of God and the angelic realm, or the kingdom of heaven. These are the sources something could be coming from. The kingdom of darkness and the demonic forces. You are able to discern what is flesh or carnal, and carnal motivations. But also you're able to discern what is the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age is not a demonic spirit. The spirit of the age is the prevailing belief system that has formed that society to be what it is. And that belief system changes with different ages. And what happens is, as people form these beliefs about who they are, what they're living in, etc., it begins to cooperate in the spirit realm with the demonic, or with the forces of light as well. It can go both ways. So discernment will enable you to discern the presence of the Lord. You know, how many of you, you're in a worship time and you don't feel anything, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, God just arrived. Yeah. No, he didn't. You just became aware through your senses, through your sense of discernment, God was there. He was there all along. You just became aware. The highest use of our discernment is to discern what God is doing or wants to do in any given situation. And the gift of discernment is a highly empowered, it's like ordinary discernment on super steroids, is about the best way I can describe it. But again, that gift of discernment is not about just picking up what the devil is doing. if that's what you think the gift of discernment is, you've only got half the picture. The highest form of operating in the gift of discernment is to discern what God is doing or wanting to do and seeing from God's perspective. So if you walk in the gift of discernment and all you see are angels, or all you see are demons, it could be that that's all you've been taught that you can see, and so you only see them. Or it could be that that's the, if you're a new Christian and you come into that awakening of your sense of discernment, it could be that you are more used to the kingdom of darkness and that's why you see demonic things. But the highest use of discernment is to discern God. How cool is that? How about discerning God in people? That's the highest use of your gift of discernment. And I know I'm teaching this morning, but man, if you get this, you are going to become so sensitive to God everywhere you go, because you know that what you're picking up in situations is not just you. Your senses are picking stuff up spiritually. And when you go out into the world and you're in the supermarket or you're at work, take note of the things that you're sensing, because they're most likely God, not just your natural senses. There's another one, equilibrioception. I won't spell it. Equilibrioception. It's the sense of balance. Balance is a sense. With this sense, we feel the pull of gravity, direction, movement, or acceleration. This sense is what keeps us upright and helps us make our way around without getting hurt. It also operates in the spiritual realm, in feeling the weight of God's presence that comes on you, and you begin to feel God's presence and your sense of balance gets knocked out of whack. And you're like, whoa! Being slain in the spirit. It's an operation of this sense in the spirit. The feeling of being caught up into heavenly places. In Ezekiel 2:2, and a couple of other verses after that, Ezekiel has a encounter where he's with this angel and he's like knocked off his feet. And the angel says, stand up, and then picks him up and sets him back on his feet. His equilibrioception was affected by the presence of the angelic. We see also John, you know, the revelator, I fell at his feet as if dead. That's that sense operating or not operating. Okay, proprioception is the next one. It's knowing which parts of your body are where without looking. It's how you can type without looking at the keyboard, if you can. I can't. I still have to look at the keyboard. But if you were my age and went to typing classes in school, you sat there in front of your typewriter with a bib on that covered the keys, and you learnt to know where your fingers were without looking. You know, that's that sense at work. It helps us sense the presence of others. Like when you don't hear someone walk into the room, but you just know that they're there. And if you turn around, you'll go, I knew you were there. Yeah, that's that sense at work. You can sense the presence of the Lord or sense the presence of demons. There's a verse in Job 4:15. I love this one. This is proprioception, but it's also touch. A spirit passed by my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. That's in Scripture. When I saw it, I'm like, I never read that before. And I've read Job multiple times. And I missed it totally. It was there in black and white. And I missed it. Huh. Another sense that you have is kinesthesia. And that's your sense of movement. It covers motion or feeling like movement, the feeling like you're flying or being caught up or ascending, or that suddenly you're like about 5 stone lighter than you actually are. That's a good feeling when that one happens. So Paul sensed it, and he couldn't tell in that experience that he had whether he was in the body or out of it, but he could sense this thing taking place where he wasn't sure whether he was still there or he had moved out of his body. Some verses to go with that, and I'm sorry, I have missed some of the verses for some of the others, but I can't remember which ones I've missed, sorry. Genesis 13:17 is one. Psalm 37:24-25, and you'll be able to get these off the tape if I go a bit too fast. Isaiah 40:31, Ecclesiastes 3:4, Matthew 17:6, and Acts 3:8 all talk about that. This is where you can feel sometimes the being transported in the spirit as well, and you just can feel that you are moving beyond where you actually are. So thermoception is the next sense. Whether an environment is too hot or too cold, that's the sense that tells you that. It's the ability to sense the temperature around us, and it helps keep us alive and well. It can be operate again in the natural or the spiritual. So spiritual temperature can sometimes be physically felt as heat or coolness. How many of you have been in, and you don't have to put up your hands, it's more a rhetorical question. I think rhetorical is the right word. Sorry, processing verbally. You've been in a meeting and all of a sudden you feel really quite hot and you're like, whoa, the temperature's gone up in here. And if you looked at the thermometer, the temperature is exactly the same. You've just become aware of something spiritually. And the fire of God is one of those things that we can become aware of spiritually through this sense of thermoception. It can also be, we can also sense cold with it as well. So not just, you know, heat, but cold. And we have, again, we have metaphors for this sense being at work in our life. The icy touch of death. You know, that's your sense of thermoception, picking something up spiritually, that death has a coldness with it. We know that in the natural, but it's in the spiritual as well. So sometimes this can manifest in different parts of our body, and we'll just talk about the fire of God for a moment here. Heat in the hands can mean that somebody around you needs to be healed, and you probably need to pray for them because you're the one feeling it. Heat upon the shoulders can mean a new mantle descending upon you. Fire in the feet or knees can be about our walk or about our service or our prayer life. In Isaiah 6:6, Isaiah feels the coal placed on his lips, and he understands that this is a cleansing fire. So it's fire, and he knows it's fire. He can feel it's fire, but the result of it is this cleansing that happens. So fire can cleanse as well. Okay, the two more to go through for you. Nociception is the ability to feel pain. Nociception. N-O-C-I-C-E-P-T-I-O-N. It's the ability to feel pain. That's one of your senses. You can sense pain physically or emotionally or spiritual in origin as well. Scripture tells us that Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He felt our pain. He was moved to compassion by feeling other people's pain. A word of knowledge can often manifest in this particular sense. You might feel a random pain in your body that's unusual, where you don't have anything wrong with you. And this random pain comes, like maybe all of a sudden in your elbow, and you're like, I haven't hit my elbow. I haven't lifted anything heavy. I haven't done anything. Ask the Lord, is this you? Maybe there's someone in the room who did damage their elbow that God wants to heal. So a word of knowledge can often come through this. Interestingly, Psalm 147, verses 3 and 5, talks about the broken in heart. How many of you have ever felt like your heart's been broken? Doesn't it physically hurt? You actually physically feel pain. And in fact, scientists have recently proven that people can die of a broken heart, and that their heart, something in their heart actually breaks with the emotional pain that they're going through, and they can actually die of a broken heart. Interesting, eh? The last one is chronoception, our ability to sense time or the passing of time. And that can manifest in the spiritual or in the natural. You can feel like you're moving through time. It's the ability to perceive whether something is in the past or future, something that you're seeing, for example. And this morning, the lady who shared the offering thing, she talked about Ecclesiastes, that there is a time for everything under heaven. And we see in Scripture also the sons of Issachar, who knew how to determine the times and seasons. They were spiritually aware of what was happening and what season the nation was in, or what season a person was in. And so when you're praying for someone, often you will say, or giving a prophetic word, you'll say, I sense you're coming into a new season. Now, it's not that they're shifting from autumn to winter. It's talking about a new release of something in their life. And we understand that, but we use that sense of time. We pick up that there's been a change. So that's that. So, and interestingly, one of the things that man has been given dominion over is actually time. Now that's going to freak you out a little bit. The eternal realm, there is no time as we know it. God uses the metaphor of time so that we can understand that some things may happen immediately, some not. You know, so like we read the scripture, a day in heaven is like, 1,000 years or whatever. So it gives us an understanding. But the eternal realm doesn't operate according to time. This realm does. And who did God give dominion over this realm to? Us. You can actually have authority over time. Joshua 10, verses 12 to 13. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. And scientists have gone back through the years and historically recorded is this instance of when time was suspended for a while in order to get something done for the kingdom. A friend of ours in the States, his wife fell down the stairs and She hurt herself quite badly as she fell. He lays hands on her and says, Father, right now I redeem the time. I take back 15 minutes. And her body was instantly restored to as if that thing had never happened. We don't realize who God's made us. We don't realize. So how do you develop your senses? How do you train your senses to discern good and evil? One, submit your senses to God. Ask Him to help you develop them. Have a posture of expectation. Scripture tells us when you pray, believe that you have received and you will have it. So thank Him for that. Have a posture of expectation. Thank the Lord daily for opening up your senses. Expect that God's going to show you stuff. You know, Matthew 7, 9 says that if we ask Him for bread, He won't give us a stone. Yeah. Learn what God sounds like. Learn what God feels like. When you become aware of the presence of God around you, stop and take note in that moment. What does this feel like to have God here? What does it feel like? What am I feeling right now? And you'll begin to train your senses. And you'll begin then, next time God turns up, you'll go, ha, I know what this is. This is God coming. We had a time where we were sharing in a glory school doing an activation. And one of the young men there came up to me and says, I didn't get anything in that last activation. And I'm like, oh, didn't you? Okay, knowing that if we asked God for something, God was going to come through and give everyone in the room an experience. But his preconceived ideas stopped him from recognizing the experience that happened to him. So your preconceived ideas of how your senses work will actually work against you and stop you from moving in the fullness of them. If you think your senses only pick up what's happening in the natural realm, that's all you'll pick up, unless God sovereignly busts through. So I said, tell me what was happening for you when we were doing that activation. He says, oh, well, I didn't get anything. I just felt like I was wrapped up in a cotton wool ball of peace. And I'm like, you felt like you were wrapped up in a cotton wool ball of peace, but you didn't get anything? He goes, no, I didn't get anything. I just felt, and I'm like, yeah, you just said that. You know? I said, do you realize you just had an experience and you received something, you did get something, you got the experience of peace and what that feels like around your life? It's cocooning. It's soft and you can put all, you know, cotton wool ball, immediately you get the picture, don't you? Yeah. And I said, now that you know what peace feels like, when peace comes again, you'll recognize it. But not only that, now that you've experienced it, you can actually access it anytime. Because once you've experienced something in the kingdom, you can access that again by faith. So that means when he goes into a situation where there is no peace, he can go, Holy Spirit, I tap back into the reality that I experienced. Because that reality is an eternal reality that operates beyond the constraints of time. Oh, so learn what God sounds like. Learn what He feels like. Get to know the original so you can detect the counterfeit. Build a relationship with Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that he is our teacher and our guide and will lead us into all truth. That means he won't lead you astray. Develop a relationship with him. Be open and ditch your preconceived ideas about how God is going to communicate to you. Most of us, we're either looking for a picture or we're looking to hear, or we're listening to hear. But yet God is communicating through your senses all day, every day. We just haven't learned how to pick up what he's saying. It's huge, yeah. So be open, ditch your preconceived ideas about how God's going to communicate to you. Understand the power of testimony to release things. Testimony releases faith and activates things. And when you hear testimony, often, you know, a person can go, like, I could be standing here and begin to smell, I'm not, but this has happened in the past, begin to smell the fragrance of God. And I can say, man, right now there's an incredible fragrance of God in the room. And that testimony begins to release something to go to work in the atmosphere and in the congregation. And those who couldn't 5 seconds before smell the fragrance of God suddenly do, because the power of testimony has released the thing it's testifying to. This is a funny one, but it's actually a true one. Keep good associates. Yeah. Hang out with people that are hungry for God. Hang out for people who are wanting to push the boundaries just like you are. We know of several youth groups where when they have pool parties, you know, where they all get together and just plan the pool and swim, they practice walking on water. They get one or two steps in sync, but they're pushing their boundaries. They know that this is available, so they're practicing. There was one time, and I can't remember where it was, I think it was at one of Patricia's things that she was telling us, where one of the guys got about 5 steps across the pool before he sank. And everyone was like, yeah! So, you know, hang out with people that will provoke you and stir you on to good works. Then listen to hear. Be deliberate, be intentional. Posture yourself to receive revelation, to receive communication. Develop an attentive heart and ear, and look to see. Sometimes we see things, but we don't look. There's a video clip on YouTube called The Awareness Test. If you get a chance, have a look at it. It's this amazing thing where you watch this video and stuff happens that you are totally unaware of that's happening until it's pointed out to you, and you then see, you know, this thing that was there all along, but you weren't looking, you were just seeing. So I'll tell you, because half of you won't go look it up, I know, human nature. So in this awareness test, they have this big group of people on this video. And the people are interacting with each other, doing things. And then a man in a gorilla suit comes and walks right through the middle of them, stops in the middle, you know, does some stuff and walks off. 99% of people never see the man in the gorilla suit because they're focusing on the people. It's because they're actually just seeing. They're not actually focusing and looking in order to be able to see. Okay. Take note of what you're feeling. Become aware of your feelings. Unexpected thoughts that flit through the mind. Unexplained pain in your body. Your hair on your arms standing on end. Become aware of your body. Become aware of what's happening to it. And ask the Lord, is this from you? Okay. And he can either say yes or no. And if he says no, then you just go, okay, then that's just life. And if he says yes, then you get to cooperate with him and decide whether you want to go further in exploring that. Learn to trust your senses. Many of us don't trust our senses, especially our ones like intuition and discernment. We second guess them all the time. Maybe I'm just making that up. Maybe that isn't really the case. And we second guess ourselves because we haven't learned how to trust our senses. And particularly if you're quite an analytical, left-brained type person, this will be hard for you because you will be wanting to analyze everything and you'll be wanting to find a natural explanation for everything because your left brain likes logic, order, etc. Your right side of your brain and the left side of your brain is what you would call your conscious brain, but much of where your brain operates is in the subconscious, the intuitive, and the left side of your brain, the creative side of you, is incredibly intuitive, and that's where your subconscious brain operates in that realm. So learn to trust your senses. Do some scripture study. Have a look, you know, look up in your concordance the word touch. Look up the word see or seeing or sight words. Look up some of the other things. And there's some beautiful stuff hidden in there in plain sight. So do that. And work on sensing the good. This is the highest form of the use of your senses, to be sensitive to God and what he's doing. The kingdom of darkness is full of pride and arrogance, so it loves to show off. That's one of the reasons why people sense the demonic more easily than the angelic, is because they love to show off. They love to let you know they're here and at work. And if you get sucked into that, if you get sucked into the narcissism that operates in the demonic kingdom, the demons are narcissists to the X. It's all about them. And if you let them, they will suck you in and take up your time and use your energy and steal your focus until it is all about them. And stop you from doing what God has for you to do, stop you from seeing what God wants to do in the situation. One of the things that, many kids know and operate in their senses on both the spiritual and natural level. They just do it instinctively, because they haven't been trained out of it yet. And many of them will pick up things in the spirit. If you've got a kid that is very sensitive to the spiritual realm and who sees things and who gets a bit freaked out, and some of you will have been like this as kids, and the demonic came to freak you out so that you would turn off your senses. And you went, man, I am never going to do that again. I'm not going to see again in the spiritual, because you had a bad experience with the demonic and it frightened you. So one of the ways that you can train your kids to not let their senses or their gifts master them, but to be master over them, one of the things is if something bad shows up, understand that they're trying to stop you from seeing what God's wanting to do. So if something bad turns up, a demon or whatever, look over their shoulder to see what they're trying to hide. very simple, but seriously, they are there to hide some stuff from you. Have a look past them, just look beyond them. And you'll find that usually there's a dirty, great big angel there with something for you. But they're there to mask it and stop you seeing. Work on sensing the good. Ask what God is doing or wanting to do in this situation. Don't put all your focus on what the devil's doing. Remember, the highest use of your senses is to be sensitive to God. Talk to God about what you're sensing. Ask him questions. He's not afraid of your questions. And he's not a parent who's going to go, seriously, another question? Like you've just asked 50 already today. How many of you were kids that went, Mummy, why? Why is the sky blue? Mummy, why is the dirt brown? Mummy, why does this happen? Anyone like that? And did your mother get frustrated? Sometimes. God will not get frustrated with you for asking questions. And some of you need to know that. He's a good dad. He's going to welcome. And he doesn't hide things from you. He hides things for you. Scripture tells us that it's the glory of God to hide a matter, but it's the glory of kings to seek it out. God isn't hiding things from you. He's hiding them for you because he wants you to experience the joy of discovery. And the other thing, journal. Keep a journal. Keep a record of the things that you experience through your senses. Keep a record of, and notice things like, every time I go into that shop, I feel whatever. Maybe that you feel incredibly light. What's that lightness telling you? Maybe that you feel this heaviness settle on you. It's telling you something. So your senses were given to you to make you sensitive, primarily to God and what he's doing, but also to the world around you. Even as we've been speaking, some of you will have been experiencing some things. But I want to pray for you now as we finish up, that there would come an awakening and a release of your senses so that you can begin to operate with a whole new understanding of what's happening to you in your everyday life. Because your senses weren't given to you for 2 hours on a Sunday. Or they weren't given to you just to operate in your quiet times with God. They were given to you so you could sense God in every situation you go into. And be sensitive to him. So, Father, right now, we thank you for our senses. We thank you for the incredible gift that they are to us. Father, thank you for the incredible complexity with which you made us. And for the gift of our being human. And Lord, so often we want to escape our humanness. And we're looking forward to going to heaven and being able to escape this place. But yet, God, you want us to fully experience the incredibleness of this place, but also the incredibleness of how you created us. God, it's not that when we get to heaven, we're suddenly going to get a whole new body and we're suddenly going to become perfect. Because if that's the case, then death is our Savior, not Jesus. God, you've saved us, you've redeemed us, you've restored us. And now we're learning to walk again in the fullness of what you created our senses for. Father, they've been like a muscle that was damaged and has become atrophied. But as we practice, those muscles are going to become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So, Father, I ask now, Father, awaken their senses. Awaken their awareness of you communicating to them through their senses. Father, awaken and give them revelation of the beauty of how you created us. The beauty of being fully human as Adam was. Here in this world, right here, right now. Not just for some eternal someday. Father, give them understanding and help them to be intentional about taking note of what their senses are experiencing and processing that through with you so that they know why they're sensing something and what you want them to do with it. Because God, we're called to cooperate with you in releasing heaven to earth and in reconciling all things back to yourself. Father, I thank you right now for that activation and awakening and understanding and revelation that has come into lives this morning. Amen. Amen.